God's order for your supernatural life. Parentheses, death, burial, and resurrection. Forward. A mystery. A secret. A mystery that's been hidden down through the ages from the minds of men is now being revealed by God in these last days. A mystery, even though it's been there in the Bible, in simplicity all this time. But now the Lord Jesus, moving by the Holy Spirit, is revealing this mystery so that you and I might be able to enter in to the power of His life, the power of His resurrection in these last days. If it's been in the Bible all this time in simplicity, why is it that man has not understood this until this time? Simply because the mind of men over the past 1500 years or longer has been somewhat blinded from the order, the true order of God, by religious doctrines and philosophies and theologies that led men away, led the minds of men away from the true order of God into the false order of religion, philosophy, and theology. Now, we're ready to see the order of God as revealed through Jesus Christ. We find the true order of God for the supernatural life of men on this earth, that they might live in power, glory, and victory, and so forth. We find the key to this in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God set forth His order in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now there has been many orders set forth by men that did not follow this pattern of the order set forth by God through His Son, Jesus. There has been many religions that set forth their own order, disregarding the order of God revealed through Jesus Christ. But you and I want to be able to live in the order of God as He set forth and revealed to the world through Jesus Christ. So let's review the events that happened in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that we might get an understanding, or begin to get an understanding, of the order of God. Most of us know the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But let's go into it in a summary, in somewhat of detail, so that we'll have it planted in our mind and be ready to follow that order. All of us know, or have read, or have heard about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. How that he died on the cross. And how that he, just before he died, he said, "It is finished." And bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Then we know that they took the body of Jesus Christ, crucified and dead, down from the cross, and put him in a tomb. And we read in the Gospels how that they wrapped his dead body in linen or in grave clothes. And we also read in the Gospel how that before they wrapped his dead body in the linen grave clothes, that they packed his body in spices to preserve his body or to keep the stink of death from seeping out from the tomb. And then they laid his dead body in a tomb wrapped in linen packed with spices. And then they rolled a stone over the mouth of the tomb. Now Jesus, crucified and dead and buried. Then we also read in the Gospels how that at the time of his resurrection, after he had been laying in the tomb for 3 days, 3 nights, how that an angel came down from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb. And we read how the keepers at the tomb trembled and fell as dead men under the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then we read in the Gospels also how that when Mary and some of the others came to the tomb, that they saw in the tomb two men. The body of Jesus was missing, but they saw in the tomb two men that were bright and shining, or two angels. One sitting at the head of where Jesus was laying, and another at the feet of where Jesus was laying. And they also saw the linen or the grave clothes that had been taken off, that had been unwrapped from his body. Well, Jesus Christ was missing. Resurrected, glorified, and resurrected. Now, if you and I want to enter into the supernatural life for our daily life that was established through God's order of death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you and I must by faith identify ourselves to the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must identify ourselves in every detail with the death of Jesus on the cross and his burial tomb and his resurrection. Now we see this order recorded many places in the epistles through the revelations of the apostles. Let's read just a few of these where we can get an understanding of this order of God before we go into our acts of faith that will begin to bring forth our supernatural life. In Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 11 through 13, we read this, "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And then again we read in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 4 through 6, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And again we read in Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 12, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now we're ready, by faith, to begin to identify ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we can begin to enter into our daily supernatural life of victory, power, health, healing, and so forth, that was provided for us through Jesus Christ. Let's read of his death first, and how that we are identified with him in his death. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 4 and 5, we read, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And then again we read in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. With his stripes we were healed. As Jesus Christ hung there on the cross, all of your sins were placed upon him. All of your sicknesses were placed upon him. All of your diseases were placed upon him. All of the workings of your old carnal nature that might hinder you or destroy you were placed upon Jesus Christ as he hung there on the cross. In reality, God is saying to you that you and your old nature died with Jesus there on the cross. And we see it described a little better in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 24, that declares that who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree. As Jesus hung there on the cross, God placed upon him your sins, and Jesus absorbed your sins into his body. As Jesus Christ hung there on the cross, God placed upon him your sicknesses, and he absorbed them in his body on the cross. All of your sins, all of your sicknesses, all of your diseases, all of your worries, all of your troubles, all of your problems, all the working of your old carnal nature, of your old fleshly nature, was placed upon the body of Jesus Christ, and he absorbed all of these into his body as your sacrifice, as your substitute. And then we see John, the 19th chapter, verse 30, how that after Jesus, hanging on the cross, had absorbed all of your sins and all of your sickness and all of your diseases and all of your trouble and all the problems of your old nature, all of your old fleshly hang-ups, after he had absorbed these into his body, we see Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament order of the sacrificial lamb that would give its last dying bleat. We see him when he cries, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, when Jesus died, all of your sins that had been absorbed into his body died with him. All of your sickness that had been absorbed into his body died with him. All of your diseases, all of your troubles, all of your problems, all the workings of your old fleshly nature that had been absorbed into his body. When Jesus died, when he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost, all of your old nature died with him. As Jesus died there on the cross, all of your lusts, all of your fleshly desires, all the workings of your old nature that had been absorbed into his body died with him. Then we also see in Hebrews the 2nd chapter, verse 14, and Colossians the 2nd chapter, verse 14 and 15, that he absorbed into his body all the workings of Satan, coming through men, or all the direct attacks of Satan that might come against you directly, were absorbed into his body and died with him. We read Colossians the 2nd chapter, verse 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And then in Hebrews, 2nd chapter, verse 14, that he also took upon himself through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. When Jesus died on the cross, all the workings of Satan, all the principalities and powers of religious rules and religious condemnation that would try to make your old nature, your old fleshly nature, be Christ-like, through their falseness, they all died with him in his body on a tree to leave you free so that you'll not try and struggle to live up to certain religious standards, but to leave yourself free to identify yourself with Jesus by faith in his death on the cross, so that your old nature might die, be destroyed, and be prepared for the bringing forth of that life of victory through the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, when Jesus died on the cross, all the workings of Satan, all the principalities and powers working against us through men, and all the direct attacks of Satan against us, of violence, condemnation, guilt, striving, and so forth, that is set up in our life as we try to obey the ordinances of man, all of these things were absorbed into his body and died with him. Now, to continue God's order for us to understand how we, by faith, can accept and identify ourselves with Christ, let's continue After Jesus died on the cross, after that he cried, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. They took his dead body down from the cross, wrapped it in spices and linen, and laid it in the tomb, and sealed the tomb with a stone, to let his dead body go through the death state for 3 days. Now we read in Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 4, that therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And then we again read in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. And then we again read in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When they took the dead body of Jesus down from the cross, and put it in a tomb, all of your sins that had been absorbed in his body and died with him on the cross were buried with him in his body in the tomb, to be destroyed with him in death, as his body went through the death state for 3 days. All of your lust that had been absorbed into his body on the cross were buried in his body in the tomb, to be destroyed with him in death, as his body went through the death state for 3 days. All of your diseases and sicknesses that had been absorbed into his body and died there on the cross were taken down from the cross in his body and were buried with him in the tomb, to be destroyed with him in death, as his body went through the death state for 3 days. All of the workings of Satan against you, all of your old nature that had been absorbed into the body of Jesus and died with him there on the cross, were taken down with him, still absorbed into his body, and placed in the tomb, to go through the death state for 3 days, to be completely destroyed. All of the workings of your old nature, all of your old fleshly nature with all its desires that had been crucified and died with Jesus as he absorbed them into his body, they're on the cross, were taken down in his body and placed in the tomb, to go through the death state for 3 days and to be completely destroyed. Now we're ready to, by faith, begin to identify ourselves with the glorification and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As the dead body of Jesus Christ lay in a tomb, and after 3 days of going through the death state to destroy your old nature that he had absorbed in his body, to destroy your old nature through death, all at once, and the dead body of Jesus Christ laying there in a tomb, something began to happen. Now we find this process called many things in the scriptures. We find Jesus calling this process that was going on in his dead bodies that lay there in the tomb. We find him calling it being glorified. John the 12th chapter, verse 23. When he said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Then we see in John the 17th chapter, verse 1 and verse 5, that Jesus called it glorifying. Glorify thy Son, Father, he said. And then God himself speaking out of heaven in John the 12th chapter, verse 28, said, I will glorify thee. And then in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, we see this process that was about to get ready to take place in the body of Jesus Christ there in the tomb. We see it called quickening. In Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 13, we also see this process called quickening. In Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verse 20, we see Paul describing this process that was about to take place in the body of Jesus Christ as being a rotting or massaging in of power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, a working of his mighty power, which he wrought or massaged in Christ when he raised him from the dead. As the dead body of Jesus lay there in the tomb, wrapped in linen and packed in spices, at the end of the third day, after it went through his complete death state, suddenly there began to move a quickening in the dead body of Jesus. There began to be massaged into his body wave after wave of the glory of the life, the Shekinah glory of the life of the Father God. As these waves and quickenings begin to move into the dead body of Jesus, all at once his dead body begin to come alive and begin to glow. As these quickenings, these glorifying work of the Holy Spirit begin to move through the dead body of Jesus Christ, all at once it began to come alive and begin to glow with the Shekinah glory of God. As these quickenings and this moving or rotting or massaging of power begin to move through the dead head of Jesus Christ as he lay there in the tomb, all at once his head and his face begin to come alive, begin to shine, and begin to glow as the glorified process brought him alive eternally. And moving from his head all the way down through his body, down through his feet, down through his legs, and on down through his feet, went the quickening, glorified process of the Shekinah glory of the Father God. And his body and his legs and his feet begin to shine and begin to glow and begin to quicken and begin to move as the glorifying process of God was completed all of in his body and all in his legs and all in his feet. And as the dead hands and arms of Jesus lay there in the tomb, all at once, in his arms and down in his hands and in his fingers, there began to be movings and quickenings and wroughtings and massagings of the mighty Shekinah glory of the Father God. And his dead arms and his dead hands began to shine and begin to glow and begin to come alive there in the tomb as the Father God, moving with the quickening and the massaging of his mighty power, brought his Son alive eternally. Now he was quickened. Now his whole body was brought alive. Now he was glorified with the glory of the Father God as he lay there in a tomb. Now we read over in Colossians, 2nd chapter, verse 13, how that you hath he quickened together with him. And again in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, we read how he hath quickened us together with Christ. As the body of Jesus Christ was glorified there in the tomb, your body was glorified with him. As the supernatural peace of God was quickened and brought alive in the mind and in the heart, in the body of Jesus Christ there in the tomb, then the supernatural peace of God was quickened and brought alive in your body. As all the supernatural natures of God was quickened, glorified, quickened, and brought alive in the body of Jesus Christ there in the tomb, all of these natures also hath he quickened and brought alive in your body, so you, by faith, can begin to identify yourself with this glorified, resurrected Jesus, this glorified Jesus that's now laying in the tomb, alive, glorified in glorified form, so that you can begin to, by faith, identify yourself with a glorified Jesus as a finished work in his body that you receive by faith. Let's continue on with the resurrection process of Jesus Christ so that we can by faith identify ourselves with him. Now as the glorified body of Jesus lay there in the tomb with the supernatural life of the Shekinah glory of God pulsating, vibrating, movings of glory moving all in his body, waiting for the full work of his resurrection to be completed, waiting to be clothed upon with the priestly garments of his resurrection. The two angels that the disciples had seen in the tomb began to unwrap his glorified and eternal body. They unwrapped his body, and he stood on his feet, glorified in bodily form, quickened or awakened from the dead. There he stood, the second Adam, the quickening spirit. There he stood, the begotten Son of God. There he stood, the firstborn from the dead, glorified and shining all in his body with the eternal life of the Father God. Now the two angels begin to clothe upon him his glorious garments of his resurrection. Glorious garments that had been prepared in the heavens. His high priest's garments of glory. Getting him ready to enter into the holiest of all in heaven. Fulfilling the Old Testament order of the priesthood dressed to enter into the holiest of holies. But there he stood, clothed upon with his resurrection, clothed upon with his high priestly garments of glory. A finished work, a complete clothing upon. And then the angel moved the stone from over the door of the tomb, and he burst forth, or stepped forth out of the tomb in his resurrection, in full resurrection. Now we read in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, how that we have been raised up together with him. When Jesus Christ stood on his feet in the fullness of his glorified eternal body, we're told here that we stood up with him. And then again, Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 12, ye are risen with him. And then again in Revelations, the 1st chapter, verse 6, hath made us kings and priests unto God. And again in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, are hid with Christ in God. So we can begin to identify ourselves as being raised up with him, living and moving in glorified form. We can identify ourselves by faith as being clothed upon with our garments of the resurrection, our priestly garments that made us priest and king unto God. We can also begin to claim or begin to identify ourselves in his resurrection, that we are hid with Christ in God. When he burst forth from that tomb, when he stepped forth from that tomb and resurrection, we're identified because we were clothed upon, because we were hidden with Christ in God. We could step forth from that tomb also, not being naked before God. A finished work, a completed work. A finished work, Christ crucified. A finished work, Christ buried and gone through the death state for 3 days. A finished work, Christ glorified. A finished work, Christ resurrected. And then we read in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 10, and ye are complete in him. Not only is Christ crucified, but you are identified as being crucified with him. A finished work. Your old nature identified as being crucified with him. But not only is Christ crucified, but he's also buried. And you identified as being buried with him in the tomb. And you also identified as already going through the death state with him. there on the tomb. A finished work. Christ already glorified, and you glorified with him. You identified as being glorified with him, quickened with him, made alive with him. A finished work, a complete work. And Christ resurrected. Clothed upon and resurrected. And you identified as being clothed upon and resurrected with him. Dead, and your life hid with Christ in God. A finished work. A complete work with nothing left for you to do except just receive it by faith. No striving, no trying. Just confessing, Lord Jesus, I receive by faith, by grace, a gift of God through faith. A finished work, a finished death to your old nature on the cross, with nothing left for you to do except just receive it by faith. No striving to die, no trying to die, no hoping to die, no waiting to die, just confessing, Lord Jesus, I receive by faith, by grace, a gift of God through faith, a finished work. A completed work of your sins and old nature, dead and destroyed in the tomb with Jesus Christ as he went through the death state. Nothing left for you to do except just receive it by faith. No striving, no trying, just confessing. Lord Jesus, by faith, I receive. A finished work. A completed work. You glorified with Christ, quickened with Christ, made alive with Christ. With nothing left for you to do except just receive it by faith. No striving, no trying, just confessing. By faith, Lord Jesus, I receive. A finished work. A finished raising up with Christ. A finished raised up together with him. Nothing left for you to do except just receive it by faith. No striving, no trying to get raised up with him, but just by confessing, Lord Jesus, by faith, I receive. A finished clothing upon with his resurrected garment. A finished work of you being clothed upon. A finished work. With nothing left for you to do except just receive it by faith. No striving, no trying, just confessing. By faith, Lord Jesus, I receive. As he is, we are in this world, by grace, a gift of God, through faith. Now we've received the truth about the finished death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we receive the truth about how we're identified with him in his death, burial, and in his resurrection. Now, in order to make these things reality in your life, it takes a working of the Spirit. Spirit and truth, remember? So now we're ready to move in to our individual acts of faith that receives the working of the Holy Spirit that makes this completed work a reality in our life. We're ready now for the Holy Spirit flowing from Jesus to apply the cross or his crucified body to our old nature and bring it into that death state. We're ready now for our body to be taken down with his body and buried in a tomb. We're ready now for that work of the Holy Spirit that will let us feel those things destroyed out of our life that were destroyed with Jesus in his 3 days in the tomb. We're ready now for a visitation of the Holy Spirit that will bring alive in our body the same quickening glorification process that took place in the body of Jesus. We're now ready to move into that spirit part of being clothed upon with his resurrection and letting him resurrect himself out through our flesh and clothing himself upon us. We're ready because we've identified ourselves with the order of God in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, before we go into the demonstration of the Spirit and power that will lead you into this mighty visitation of God, let me explain some things that might stop you from striving and trying. I will begin to bring these things alive to you through demonstration of the Spirit and power and lead you in to your by faith confession, which will make them reality in your life. Now, Jesus Christ, as the high priest, the resurrected high priest, is going to do all these things in your life by the work of the Holy Spirit. I, as the apostle of Jesus Christ, will lead you in demonstration of the Spirit and power, lead you into the confession and actions of your faith that will connect you to the high priest, Jesus Christ, so that you can receive this mighty visitation of the Spirit. So you can just relax and let the high priest, Jesus, working directly with you by the Spirit, and the apostle, Jesus, working out of me by the Spirit in demonstration of the Spirit and power, lead you into death on the cross and destruction buried in his tomb, and glorified with Jesus, and lead you into his resurrection. Now Jesus Christ does the work by the Holy Spirit. I only demonstrate and instruct and lead you into these actions of faith so that you can receive these different completed works. To open your understanding further, God sent an angel to roll back the stone from over the mouth of the tomb. But I, as the apostle of Jesus, will remove that stone myself, even as Jesus, when he called forth Lazarus from the tomb, he did not remove the stone from the tomb, but he had others to remove it. Now, what is that stone over your tomb? You know your tomb is your old nature or your old life, your old fleshly nature, don't you? Well, what is that stone over that tomb that'll keep you from just coming forth in resurrection? That stone is your understanding. And I will enlighten your understanding through the scriptures and through demonstrations of the Spirit and power, so that Christ, as the high priest, can call you forth, call his life forth out through your old fleshly nature in his resurrection. Now we know that God sent angels to unwrap the body of Jesus in the tomb. Two angels. But Jesus, in the raising of Lazarus from the dead, sent people. He said, unwrap him and let him go. Now these two angels represent spirit and truth. And I'll unwrap your body in spirit and truth, in faith and action. And I'll do this through demonstration of the Spirit and power. So you can just relax and get ready to receive this finished work by faith, by grace, a gift of God, through faith. Remember this, Jesus Christ does not need your help to lead you into these things. All he needs is your submission and by faith confession. Neither do I need your help to move the stone or unwrap your body or reveal to you the cross or lead you into the actions of faith that's needed to partake of these things. So just relax and get ready for a mighty visitation of God by the Spirit. Now we're ready to begin to go into our action of faith that'll bring about a reality of these things in our life as the Holy Spirit begins to make them work and begin to make them come alive in our life. Now let's go through the steps briefly of how we're going to do this. I'll be bringing you to the cross, Jesus Christ there crucified before you, and I'll be ministering to you and telling you to look at that cross and by faith see all of your sins, your sicknesses, your old nature, and all the things that you need, they're crucified upon him. And then I'll begin to lead you in an action of faith to begin to confess those needs crucified there upon him. And then I'll lead you into receiving that work of the cross down into your old nature by a simple confession of your faith. And you'll feel the Holy Spirit flowing from Jesus apply the cross in your body to your old nature, to your sin, your sickness, and so forth. And you'll feel that cross go right down inside of you. Go right down in your fleshly body, and you'll feel it begin to work in there. And we'll begin to groan in the Spirit. And as we groan in the Spirit there a few times, I'll begin to tell you what, by faith, to confess. Now remember, since this is a finished work, since this is a completed work, that you don't have to go through the death state for a long period of time. But since this is a finished work, when we get ready to bring that cross down into our life to deal that glory, grace, death to our old nature, we can confess that our old nature and all of its needs are crucified, dead, and destroyed with Jesus on the inside of us. And it won't take long, just two or three or four groanings in the Spirit till we'll begin to feel that release come. Now, while you're groaning in the Spirit and speaking in tongues quietly, there and the cross is being applied, all at once I'll tell you what action of faith to begin to confess that I'm glorified with you, Lord Jesus. I'm glorified with you. In your body, I'm glorified with you. And those groans in there will begin to turn into shivers and quickenings that'll begin to run all in your flesh, all in your heart, all in your mind, your body, your shoulders, your legs, your arms. And I'll begin to tell you just where to direct those groans, just where to direct that glorifying, quickening work all over your body. And then, as that glorifying, quickening work is completed in your body, then I'll be leading you, as you're still groaning in the Spirit and speaking in tongues quietly, I'll be leading you into your faith confession that you are resurrected with Christ. You're raised up with him. And then you will just feel Christ begin to come out of your flesh. That same quickening is going on all inside of your flesh. You'll begin to feel it by the Spirit as he just comes right outside and just wraps himself around you. And as you continue to groan in the Spirit, then I'll just begin to tell you to confess or lead you into your actions of faith, how to confess that you're clothed upon Christ. And you'll feel those garments of his resurrection power just encap you all the way around, clothe himself upon you.